sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Father, I ask now as we go into today's word, Father, that you would give us the words to say, Father, that would speak to hearts and lives wherever this message may be heard. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, words are a powerful force. In fact, I want you to think about a couple of words here and found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Think about that. "And God said." These three words are repeated several times here in the first chapter of Genesis, as well as other places throughout the Bible where it repeats, "And God said." And when God said something, those words had great effect. They created things, as in the case in Genesis. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be stars in the sky. Let there be a sun. Let there be a moon. Let there be all of these things that we enjoy. You know, the other night here where I live in Tennessee, it was kind of a dark night, other than the fact that you could see the stars very brilliantly in the sky. It was clear, and there were many, many stars to behold in the sky as I went out and looked to see what I could actually observe out there. And God created all of these things. He spoke them into existence. It was His words that caused these things to be created. Words are powerful. Words can bring help. Words can bring hope. Words can bring healing. Just think about it. In the Bible, there's so many times that people came to Jesus and He just spoke a word. Or He gave one of His prophets a message to deliver. And as they spoke the words and people were obedient, healing was brought into their lives, into their body, into their being. Words can also bring destruction. And we find instances of that in the Bible, as well as we find instances of that in our everyday living, where words can bring destruction. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." But I want to call just your part to the first part there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every once in a while we hear of someone, and this seems to typically occur more recently among younger people, but we hear of people who have committed suicide simply because of something that has been said to them. Now, maybe not something that was just said one time, but something that was said numerous times to them. And as a result, they felt their life was no longer worth living, and they took their own life. Death is in the power of the tongue, as well as life is in the power of the tongue. Sometimes words you speak can bring about death, whereas other times words you speak can bring about life. There are three words that I think everyone wants to hear. And those three words are very simply, I love you. I love you. Just think about the first time you heard someone say that to you. Especially those of you that are listening today that you're married and the first time that love of your life, that soulmate, spoke those words to you. I love you. Oh, and how it made you feel. Maybe it made little shivers run up and down your spine. Maybe it made you feel giddy. I don't know. I know it affects each person differently. But you wanted to hear those words. And they've had a great power in your own life. A few weeks ago, the church that my wife and I are attending currently, the minister was showing a brief video clip that related to his message. And in this video clip, you see a newborn baby and the father. Now, this is a baby that has just been delivered. And it's crying. You know, when babies are born, one of the first things that happen is they get that swat from the doctor. Want them to cry. Why? To clear out their lungs here a little bit and see what strength they've got in their lungs and their ability to breathe and so on. But this baby is still crying. And here is the baby and the father. Neither have physically seen each other before. In fact, right now, probably the baby's eyesight is not really good enough that he can really make out the father as except maybe just a shadow type image. But as the baby is crying out very loudly, the father begins to talk to the baby in a very soft and soothing tone. I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like, it's okay. I'm here. I love you. And as the father begins to speak these words to that newborn baby, you notice the baby begins to immediately calm down and settle down as he hears those words. Then a little time elapses. The baby's been cleaned up. It's got a diaper on now. And again, the baby is crying. And once again, the father begins to softly speak to the baby and tell him that it's okay and that he is loved. Powerful words there. It's okay. I love you. And you know, we see those things happening outside the realm of human beings even. And recently, my wife and I adopted a couple of kittens. They were brother and sister. And we had first seen them just a day or so after they were born. And we went and visited with them every day, or not maybe every day, but every few days, up until the time that they could be resettled into our home. And we would speak to them and talk to them. And they still like to come and crawl up in our lap and have us pet them and speak to them and tell them that we love them. It seems to bring them calmness. It brings them security. The words that we speak. Whereas I can give a harsh word when they're doing something wrong, and they know they're doing something wrong then. So we can sometimes speak harshly to people, and those words can cause an emotional reaction. Has anyone ever yelled at you? Spoken something harshly to you? And it's maybe even brought tears to your eyes what they've had to say? It's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you on occasion. But we speak words harshly, and it can cause an emotional reaction. I know of people that they've been chewed out by their boss, and they burst out into tears because of it. And I know you guys are out there saying that are listening are saying, oh, that doesn't happen to me, but yes, it does sometimes. And if it hasn't yet, I guarantee you someday it will. Sometimes we speak words in anger, words that we will later regret that we have said. Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. I know I have. Words that, once they're spoken, we can never really take them back. Oh, we can apologize, and we can ask forgiveness, and we can say, I'm sorry, and all of these things. And we can truly ask forgiveness, show repentance at what we've said. But are they really ever taken back? At least in the natural, they're not. Because that person is always going to remember those harsh words that were spoken. We can go back, remembering back over the past and things that have been said to us in anger and harshness. Even though we may have forgiven that person, even though you might be best of friends now, you will still remember those words. There's talking about forgive and forget, but do people truly forget? Have you ever run into someone that seems to know everything about everything? I've run into a few of those people. They are an expert in something they have never done. I once had a person try to tell me how to produce a TV program. They've never produced one. They've never even been in a studio. I've been there. I've done that. I know how it at least used to be done. I know the technology has changed, and I don't even know how it's all done anymore. But I used to know how it was done. And so I have a little bit of experience, a little bit of knowledge in it, but I was spoken to like I had no knowledge at all. Now, usually we would call that person a know-it-all. And it's because they are trying to tell us something that we know they really don't know everything there is to know about. Or have you ever had somebody come to you and start their sentence with, I hate to say this, and we think, oh no, what are they going to be telling us now? Because there are words that we hate to hear, just as much as we love to hear those words like, I love you, you've done a good job. That was great. We love to hear things like that. But there are those words that we hate to hear. You didn't do this right. This is wrong. So on. We hear words like that. And none of us like it. But there are three words that I will almost guarantee you everyone hates to say. And those three words are, I was wrong. Have you ever had to say that? Admit that you were wrong? It's tough sometimes to admit that we were wrong. Probably the hardest three words in the English language to say. Now, I know in some other languages that might only be two words, might only be one word, it might be 10 words to say I was wrong. But it's words that you hate to hear. No one likes to have to say that they were wrong. And it's even worse if we have to say, you were right, I was wrong. Well, why is it that we have a problem with that? Well, I think maybe it goes back to our ancestors. How many of you have thought about your ancestors? I know here in the United States, a lot of folks are interested in their ancestors, what they did, who they were. Were they famous? Were they infamous? Were they horse thieves? I've always kind of wondered about that sometimes in my past. Did I have any horse thieves in my past? Because I've never really been able to find out a whole lot about my ancestors, but I was able to trace some of it back, find out a little bit of information about some of my ancestors, and fortunately there was not anything really bad in there. And I know that there are programs on television about your ancestry, and people are tracing back who they, where their ancestors were, where they came from. Sometimes we get surprises along the line. And I sometimes have told folks that my many times removed great-grandmother was a lady by the name of Eve. And she's responsible for some of the mess that we're in today. Because, you know, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, our many times removed great-grandmother is a lady by the name of Eve. And here's what God's Word has to say. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says this, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Then we skip over to chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and it says, "And now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You know, that's one thing that's out there a lot of partial truth. God had said, if they ate it, they would know the difference between good and evil. Serpent's telling him, yeah, that's what's going to happen. But he's saying, you're not going to die. And God wasn't talking, bam, you're drop dead right then type die, but spiritually, she and Adam, when he partook of the fruit as well, spiritually died. There was spiritual death that came into existence here. We spiritually die. And in verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "So the Lord God asked the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, it was the serpent. He deceived me, and I ate." I ate some of it, God. She didn't come out and say I was wrong, but she says, I was deceived and I ate of it. And even today we do things that are wrong, and most of the time we don't want to admit that we were wrong. Eve's partaking of that fruit, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was wrong. Her words, it was the serpent, he deceived me. She didn't say, I was wrong, I listened to what the serpent had to say. We need to admit sometimes that we are wrong. And because of this, a separation has come between God and man. And that separation still exists today. The Bible tells us that we're born in sin. We are sinners by birth. It's not something we grow in sin, yes, but we are born in it as well. We're in it from the beginning of our life. But that separation that was created by our many times removed great-grandmother Eve can be resolved. You see, a few years ago, there were people that were going on apology tours, and I really never quite honestly understood these apology tours, because they were apologizing for stuff that other people had done many times, hundreds of years in the past. I suppose they were hoping that this would bring healing in certain situations. I don't know that it did. And apologizing doesn't always bring forgiveness. I'm going to go back to our mother. And this is what the Bible tells us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So our great many times removed great-great-grandmother disobeyed a commandment from God. And that result has been carried down to us today. We still have the results of that taking place in our life today. What she did, what our great-great many times removed great-grandfather Adam did, when he also partook of the fruit. It's carried down to us today. But we can have forgiveness. We can have atonement of that transgression, that sin. All we have to do is simply go to God in prayer and say, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my transgressions. And yes, we might even have to say, I was wrong. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my transgression. And God's Word, the Bible, tells us if we come before Him and ask forgiveness because of the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, we can have forgiveness of our sin. We can be restored into right relationship with God. We once again become a part of the family of God. Once again, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are now a part of God's family. And it's so simple and so easy to do. Just as simple as saying, Father, I confess my sin unto you. Forgive me of my sin. Cover it over with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary by your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I ask this forgiveness today. Amen and amen. And if you'll do that, He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll restore you into right relationship with Him. And you once again become a child of God.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.